Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Oh, good afternoon. Welcome to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here on this Friday afternoon. It's certainly a lot nicer than a week ago on Friday afternoon. It's in the double digits, not the triple digits, I guess. But, we're going to get started with our program here. And of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call toll free. Our lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray that you would bless now this afternoon. Thank you again for another opportunity to be on the air. We do pray that you would bless, help us be an encouragement to somebody today and be able to point somebody to the Word of God for answers to their questions, Lord, that might be searching for. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, glad to have you with us here this afternoon, and certainly we invite you to visit us also on Sunday nights on our Late Night Live with Pastor Al program right here on the same station at 11 o'clock until midnight on Sunday night, a whole different program, Late Night Live Talk, and live as well with your questions. But here in the afternoon, you can give us a call. I was looking at a couple of things that was going on this past week, and I had opportunity to do a funeral this past week. Didn't really know that I was going to be doing that right away, but a lot of times that's the way funerals work. They don't really plan them in advance too often. You know, you don't usually take your calendar out and say, I think about next year, about sometime in May, I think I'll plan a funeral. And it's one of those things that comes up when they happen. And having done a variety of funerals over the years as a pastor, some are easier to do than others, and really this one was much easier to do than a lot of funerals that I've had to be a part of. And what I mean by that is sometimes you have a case where the person that you know has passed away, there's no real good reason not to believe that they've been born again. There's no good reason to believe that they've gone to heaven. And you're trying to find a way to, you know, to bring comfort to the family. And at the same time, you don't want to do what some people get guilty of, preaching somebody into heaven that's obviously never been saved, because Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by him. And so he's the only way into heaven. And so we can't really preach somebody into heaven that's not saved. But on the other hand, you do funerals on occasion where you have every reason to believe that the person is in heaven because they've put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And as a consequence, you look at the funeral as almost a celebration. And really any funeral, you're remembering the person's life and trying to comfort one another. That's one of the things that we should do during funerals, of course. But a funeral of somebody that you believe is saved and believe is in heaven, it's just a temporary separation. And so we look forward to the day that we'll see that person again. And having an opportunity to do a funeral for somebody that is in heaven is really much more of a pleasurable thing. Psalm 116, verse 15 has a great verse regarding the person who is saved. And it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And you think, how in the world can the death of his saints be precious? And when you think about it, that's because for God, when a believer dies, they're coming into heaven. They're crossing over the river. They're coming into heaven. And really, it's a reunion. It's a homecoming. And we are thinking about family members. And when we lose a family member to death, and if we know Christ is our Savior and we know they're in heaven, then really, when you think about it, a funeral is a great a passing of a believer, being reunited not only with family and friends that have been saved in the past that are already in heaven, as well as seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize that the death of the saint marks a great reunion in heaven with fellow believers and with our Lord. So that's why God can say precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And that's kind of a contrast, of course, passages such as Ezekiel 18:32, which says God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And that's because, unfortunately, for those without Christ, we can't preach them into heaven. Unfortunately, their eternal destiny has been set. Having died without Christ, of course, they're confined to the a place called hell and a place of torment, only to be released, of course, at the end, the last judgment, the great white throne judgment in Revelation, where they'll be cast from there into the lake of fire for all eternity. So God takes no pleasure in that. And so that's the devil wants to keep people from being saved because he knows that he can't hurt God directly, but he can hurt that which God loves. And of course, we are that which God loves. Bible says in John 3:16, familiar verse to many people, for God so loved the world, that means us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so because of God's love for us, when we were yet in our sins, he made a way of salvation by coming to this earth, born and living in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then paying for our sins on the cross. And as a consequence, he made it possible for our sins to be forgiven so that we can be with him in heaven. But the devil knows and understands that every person that he can get or keep from seeing that truth, everyone that he can blind the eyes of and get them to believe a lie of a false religion, a cult of some sort, he's confident that he's hurting God, and indeed he is, because God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I've heard people try to say that that it pleases God when the wicked die, and it pleases God to punish the wicked. And I've even heard some people promoting Calvinism that says because God creates, according to Calvinistic theology, which I reject, Calvinism, taken to its logical ends, says that God creates some people to populate heaven, and most people he creates to populate hell. And I even saw where people who follow that line of reasoning believe that people in hell will be glad because they're glorifying God by doing what he created them to do, which is suffer in hell. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. That's a lie from hell. And no, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but instead, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, you're listening to late night, or I'm sorry, I'll go to our Friday night one here, our Sunday night program there for a minute. I see the wrong guy behind the glass. Live with Pastor Al. You're listening live with Pastor Al here this Friday afternoon right here on AM 1220 The Word. Be with you until 2 o'clock. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Well, a number of things also happening, and I like to talk about some things outside of some of the things happening in the political arena and things of that on occasion. And I had seen an article that I wanted to share a couple times and haven't quite got to it because of other things happening in the Middle East and questions about some of the things happening in politics. But this article here is talking about whales. And it was published at the Institute for Creation Research website. That's icr.org. And the question was revolving around what we call baleen whales or rorqual whales. And they include things like blue whales, mink whales, things like that. They don't have teeth, as opposed to the toothed whales such as porpoises and dolphins and killer whales, things like that. They eat little tiny sea creatures like krill, things like that, and plankton. They filter large amounts of water through their mouths, And some of the, you know, the blue whales and things are some of the largest creatures on Earth. They eat some of the smallest creatures on Earth. And these sort of comb-like bristles in their mouths called baleen, they kind of filter the water and snag the krill and things of that nature, and then they're able to swallow them. And they have a organ that's been newly discovered. And they what they do is they lunge and get a big mouthful of water, and then their skin folds in the throat, which expand, and they swallow these mouthfuls of prey-laden water with krill and plankton and things like that. And this organ, sensory organ that they have in there, as they open their mouths and stuff, this organ kind of detects that and lets them know how much force is necessary, so they don't lunge too fast in the water, and you know, the water pressure surging in damaged their throat and the baleen and things of that nature. And there's really no good way to evolve an organ like that, let alone the whole baleen and lunge feeding tactic. That's not something that would evolve very easily. And that gets you to the idea of intelligent design. There's certain things that require everything to be in place. There's no precursors that you could have where it could almost come together. And you can't reach it by having something with minimal function. By minimal function, best way to imagine that is go out in Lake Erie in a boat and have a nice, powerful motor on it that turns at about one revolution an hour. It's not going to do much good for you. It might be a good motor, but if it doesn't spin the propeller fast enough, it's not going to be worth anything. And so the other thing you can look at with having certainly the irreducible design where everything has to be together. If you think of like a mouse trap, you got a piece of wood and you got a spring and you got a wire and you got a trigger. All those things have to be together. A piece of wood can't evolve into a mouse trap by a piece of wire curling into a spring and landing on top of it and getting a trigger of some sort. Now, all of it has to be together or none of it works at all. There's no benefit to any of the component parts by themselves, and kind of hurrying through that. But I just give you an overview of the whale, and we're going to get a caller here in just a moment. And again, you can call 888-677-9673. When I was at Colorado State studying evolution, actually, I remember we were studying the evolution of the whale, whales, and the idea that evolutionists had was that there was a sea creature that longed for the land, and he walked up out of the land, crawled up out, evolved legs, and started grazing, and became sort of a bovine-like creature, somewhat like a cow or something. And he wandered around on the land, and he got sort of seasick, and he wanted to go back to the ocean. So he eventually wandered back into the ocean, and he lost his legs and went back to flippers and a tail. Instead of going back to the fish-like design, he went a little bit different design, but he went back into the water. So whales are creatures that evolved into land animals and then back into sea creatures from the sea initially. And that's what evolution teaches. Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that whales were created on the fifth day, on the same day that God created the birds, the same day that God created the fish, and the same day in Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, you can see that he created birds, he created fish, he created whales. The land animals were not created until the sixth day, as was Adam, the first man. But so the Bible cannot be used to justify some form of evolutionary theology that allows for God using evolution to evolve a whale by beginning as a sea creature, going up onto the land, and then back into the water. You just can't do it. And that's just an attempt to try to make false science that conflicts with the Bible not conflict in some way. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We'll be on until 2 o'clock here, And we're going to get our caller here in just a second. Want a quick mention, Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can call Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton at 440-237-4393. And let him know you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Live with Pastor Al. Well, if you've got a question, give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have John in Euclid calling. And John, are you with us?
Yeah, hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, good afternoon. Good, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. And, yeah, it's nice that, you know, praise the Lord, it's a little cooler today. So that's
nice
because people are working and things. But, you know, the most important thing is for people to be saved. And, the Lord Jesus was telling the Pharisees and, you know, well, the people, everyone, he's saying, you know, this is the works of the Father, you know, this is the work you should do, that you believe on him whom we have sent.
That's right.
And I was wondering, going along with that teaching that the Lord taught, that, you know, he said in Matthew 18, he said that except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. And I wondered if you could, you know, talk about that a little bit. And again, you know, the teaching too that he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Okay, that's Matthew chapter 18, and do you have the verse number on that?
I think it'd be the first verse.
All right, let me take a look here.
I don't have my Bible right handy right this second, but I think that's the first verse of that chapter.
All right, actually it's verse number 3. So, yeah, it says, in verse 2, which starts the sentence, it says, and Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. All right. And you're looking at what he was talking about there, right?
Yes.
Right.
And again, too, like, I mean, kind of comparing, you know, with Scripture there, you know, there was, you know, well, we know John the Baptist came preaching repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Jesus went out to preach, he said, you know, he told the people, you know, they pointed out to him some people that had died, and the Galileans, that whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices, and, you know, and he mentioned a tower that fell on those of Siloam. And he said, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. They weren't the worst sinners above all sinners. You know, it's everyone needs to repent.
Right. Yeah, and that's obvious. But when he's talking here about the child, and we usually think of a child as innocent. Of course, we have a sin nature. And there's a couple of things with the child. We need to be, in a sense, innocent. And but the big thing with a child, you know, children oftentimes can grasp the gospel a little bit better than adults. That's one part with that. Because adults, we want to read too much into things. Plus, we're geared, and we do start learning when we're younger, we're geared to the whole idea of you know, you earn reward, or you earn this, and you get punishments because you did bad things and all that. And so we get this idea that we have to earn salvation in some sense. But usually children, when their parents tell them something, they'll usually accept it. You know, you see what I'm saying? They don't read into it too much. They accept it. They believe it. They believe that what mom or dad has told them is true. And they usually don't question it too well when they're children, when they're small children. And that's part of what we need to do when we're exposed to the gospel is we need to, like a child, believe that what God says is true and accept it and act on it. But there's also another area that you can get into with the idea of the children, and at the risk of getting slightly off track here, we do know that the Bible indicates that there's something that we've come to term as an age of innocence. And remember, King David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and conspired to have her husband Uriah killed in battle. And then when that child died, before the child died, he became sick. And David, he mourned for the child, and he fasted, and he was praying and asking God to spare the child. And God said the child was going to would die. And the servants of David, when the child died, were reluctant to tell him that the child was dead, because they knew how much he was upset with the child being sick. And they were afraid what he might do if he found out the child was dead. When he finally found out the child was dead, he cleaned himself up and he went back to normal. And the servants were kind of astounded. And he basically told them that while the child was alive, he was hoping that maybe God would change and spare the child. But now that the child is dead, he said, where the child is, you know, eventually I'm going to go there. It's like I was talking at the beginning of the program. He fully expected to be reunited with that child. And I kind of think that when the Bible says, for such is the kingdom of God, talking about children, you wonder about these children that have been aborted and things of that nature. They never had a chance to hear the gospel. So there comes a point in a child's life, though, where they are responsible for the gospel message. They can hear it, they can understand it, and they can choose to accept or reject the gospel. They can choose to repent and trust Christ as their Savior, or they can choose not to, as opposed to, an infant or an unborn child who, even if they heard the gospel, does not have the capability of choosing to accept or reject the gospel. And that's also in contrast with the adult that lives, you know, somewhere where they've never been exposed to the gospel. They do have the ability to choose to accept or reject. And there is a moral law that seems to be written into people's conscience that they understand right and wrong. But some small children don't understand that. So, we need to reach that point of innocence, and we need to humble ourselves before the Lord, just like a little child would before their parents, and trust Him and believe and do what He says without question in regards to salvation. And then, of course, in terms of repentance, except thou repent, the Bible says, we're not going to be able to get saved. Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish, in Luke chapter 13. In fact, he said that twice in verse 3 and verse 5. And the problem is, we don't want to repent. We think that we're okay, so why should I change? We think that my way is good enough. Why should I change? We think just being a member of this church or that church is good enough. Why should I change? And repentance, basically the idea there is, we have to say, you know what? My way isn't good enough. I'm not good enough. My church membership isn't good enough. My good works isn't good enough, or aren't good enough. The only thing I can do is say, you know what, Lord? I'm a sinner. And I know that nothing that I've done, nothing that I can do is going to make up for that. I can't join enough churches. I can't give enough money. I can't turn over enough new leaves. The only thing I can do is come to you and say, guess what, Lord? I'm a sinner that deserves hell, and I admit it. But I believe that Jesus died on the cross because you love me so much that you took my place. And I believe that you paid the only price that could be paid for my sin, which was the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for my sin. And so as a consequence, I'm through with trying to be good enough. I'm through with trying to make myself acceptable. I'm just going to admit my sin, admit my worthlessness in that respect, and I'm just going to throw myself upon your mercy and trust in your grace that you'll save me and you'll accept me as a repentant sinner. And when we do that, and we call upon the name of the Lord, believing that He paid for our sin, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And John, hope we touched on a number of things that you were looking at there with those passages. And I hope also for our listeners here, the blessing for you here this afternoon, and encourage you to join us again next week. Actually, we'll be on Sunday night at 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the evening until midnight. And then we'll be on again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 to 2. And you can also join us at the Bible Baptist Church tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in Richfield, 5171 Brecksville Road, where we meet. And we do this very same thing for 2 hours right there, 7 to 9. We're out of time. Have a great weekend. God bless. And join us again next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church this Sunday at 11 a.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at bbc.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.